Good morning. Sermon this morning is going to be from Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. Read that in just a minute here. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's one of the places where, among all the interactions that Jesus has with the Pharisees, he really highlights here what the problem is, and it's a problem of understanding really what's at the heart of what God wants. And a lot of times we feel as though if we just go about doing enough things, then God's going to be happy, and if we can line out people's behavior and what's expected of them, and they would just do it, then they'll know that God's happy with them. But Jesus says it's not really about that as much as it is having your heart right with God. And then when your heart is right with God, then the behavior becomes natural. It's not forced. It's not put on from the outside. It comes out of what's internally there already. And so Jesus can have a lot of conflict in this section with the Pharisees. And I guess I said 1 through 23. I guess we could read down through verse 30, even though it's not in the outline. But because what happens is in verses 24 through 30, Jesus has an interaction with a non-Jewish woman, and she has faith that ends up being a very positive thing, and that's Jesus' whole point. She didn't meet the technical specifications for somebody who should have faith, that God approved them. She didn't meet the behaviors that Jews would have said, this is what God expects from people, and yet she was the one who had faith. And that's the exact example of what Jesus is getting at there. So I'm going to leave that part out, I guess. I don't know why I started kind of at the end there and whatever, but I'm going to read 1 through 23 and then get to the sermon. And if I can fit in 24 through 30, I will, but we're kind of running out of time and it's warm up here, so we'll see what happens. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside, and they defile a person." Let's pray. Thank you, God, that we have this passage that reminds us or teaches us that you want us to have our hearts cleansed and made right with you, and that becomes the basis of all godly behavior. Help us, God, to realize that in our attempts to be obedient, that we need to make sure that our obedience is coming from the heart, that we're not simply trying to obey as ways of trying to gain your favor, or that we're not doing things that we're trying to enforce on other people, but that we focus on ourselves and on our own heartfelt and heart-led obedience to you. Help us, God, to never find ourselves in a place where our hearts actually become hard because we're so focused on obedience and living up to what we think you want from us that we miss the relationship that you call us to have. And help us to realize, God, that what Jesus is saying here is true, that it's the things that are within us that defile us, and it's those things that are within us that defile us that you want us to call out of our lives so that we can have the purity and cleanliness that you call us to. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for Jesus teaching it. We thank you that he was able to interact with the Pharisees in such a way that enables us to see the truth of the kind of life that you call us to. And we thank you for everything that you've given to us in and through Jesus as we pray in his name. Amen. So in this passage, Jesus is calling attention to two different paths or two different ways of trying to know God. It reminded me of a poem that, not that I'm really into poetry or anything, but this one really stuck with me, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. It's the one by Robert Frost. I think it's called The Road Less Traveled, where he talks about the two paths that diverged in the woods, and he took the one that was less traveled by, and that made all the difference for him, he said. And the notion there in that poem is that if you keep walking along the path that's common that everybody follows, you're going to not really find anything new. But if you take the one that's less traveled by, who knows what you're going to find, because less people have taken it, and maybe there's some surprises down there or whatever. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Many times we can point to the teaching that he offered where he talked about the narrow path and very few people find it, and sometimes we like to talk about that one because it helps us feel like we're definitely on the right track. But what Jesus is doing here is talking about two different approaches to God, two different paths to God, two different ways to God. The Pharisees represent one of those ways, and Jesus represents the other way. And obviously, Jesus is going to end by calling us to adopt his way and to take on his way of following. When we look at what he's talking about with the Pharisees, Jesus really boils this down to whether we're being hypocrites or whether we're being true followers of God. And Jesus doesn't mince any words. One of the reasons I like this passage is because of how direct Jesus is with the Pharisees. They challenge his disciples. They challenge Jesus himself in verse 5, and then in verse 6, Jesus' answer back to them, he's not playing around here, he just says in verse 6, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. So right off the bat, you know that Jesus is going to be getting into some pretty serious material here, some pretty serious dialogue with the Pharisees. He's not going to be fooling around with them when he unleashes the term hypocrite. But the reason that he does that is because he really wants to point out, I think, more for the benefit of those who are listening in and those who are overhearing, that the path of life that the Pharisees are advocating is not one that's going to lead anybody closer to God. It's one that's going to put burdens on people. It's one that's going to call people to become overly sensitive about what they're doing and how what they're doing is lining up with what other people think. Because at the end of the day, what the Pharisees are really looking at here, and we can see this, is not making sure that the disciples were supposedly doing the right things, but that the disciples were doing what the Pharisees wanted them to do. So at the end of the day, the Pharisees were about controlling the behavior of other people. Jesus, in contrast, is going to be trying to set people free to discern what it is that God wants them to do so that they can be enabled and emboldened to carry out the work that God wants them to carry out. We can see that play out right at the very beginning here in verses 1 through 4. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. Now, the key thing to notice in verse 1 is not that these Pharisees and teachers of the law were just hanging around. They had come down from Jerusalem to where Jesus was to circulate around Jesus. Now, think about that. Why would they do that? Nowhere in the Gospels, other than that one incident with Nicodemus, are religious leaders really shown to be interested in what Jesus is doing. Religious leaders in the Gospels are always there to act against Jesus, to confront him, to find some way that he was dropping the ball or not teaching the people, or to engage in some kind of conflict with him. And so now we have Pharisees and teachers of the law who come down from Jerusalem to gather around Jesus. They're looking to set him up. They're looking to find a problem with him. They're looking to engage in conflict with him. These are not people who are focused directly on trying to help people draw closer to God. And that's one of the direct problems that Jesus is going to address, that he faces in this section with the Pharisees. And I think it's why he calls them hypocrites right from the get-go, because there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake here. Jesus is looking at, if you continue to influence and interact with people the way that you are, you will keep leading them further and further away from God. In my morning class, we're in the Gospel of Matthew. And one of the things that Jesus does towards the end of chapter 9 is he circulates, he goes among all the towns and villages, and he looks around at the people he's ministering to. And Jesus himself has been teaching them. He's been healing. He's been casting out demons. But as he looks around at the people, he says, they're harassed and helpless. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And the reason that Jesus can say that is because there hadn't been any shepherding. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the chief priests, all of those who should have been positively influencing the people towards God were not doing it. And now we can see why. The Pharisees are more concerned about drawing people in to their traditions and to their rules and to their understanding of the law and making sure that people line up with the control that they want to have over people rather than with God himself. And so Jesus looks at the hypocrites. He looks at the Pharisees and he realizes that they're focused more on the externals. They're focused on the traditions. They're focused on the show that comes out of observing those traditions and enforcing those on other people. And it's about control. It's about the Pharisees getting people to do what it is that they want them to do. They're not even talking about commands at this point. They're not even talking about the law. The Pharisees don't go out and say to Jesus' disciples, or to Jesus, why are your disciples a bunch of lawbreakers? Notice what they say in verse 5. Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders? Now, to give them a little bit of credit, traditions for the Jews are a little bit more serious than what we would consider to be traditions today. They were kind of just like a step down from the law, but they were still a created rule that was not given by God. Traditions often came out of some reflection on how do we observe the law. Because as we all know, even for us, as we read the New Testament, we come across a command, and the commands sometimes are generalized, right? They're not super specific. We have to apply that command to our lives, and the way that I might apply that command to my life would have a different application than how you might. So how do we help people to understand those commands? Well, that's where a tradition comes about, as we try to extrapolate out of that and come up with ideas for how that command might play out in different people's lives. But the problem is that once we start stepping away from the direct command of God and coming up with our own twists and applications on that, once we begin binding those applications, those traditions on other people, that's where we run into problems. Because what we're saying is, what worked for me now has to work for you, or you're in violation of God's commands. Why aren't you living according to those traditions? That's what the Pharisees were doing. As they reflected on how best to understand God's law, they created a series of traditions. The problem is that they began to then enforce those traditions on other people and tried to control people's behaviors into those traditions. So what they were actually doing was taking a step back from God's law, the law that God gave, and they're saying, you have to follow our interpretation of those things. And when Jesus' disciples apparently didn't, that's when they called Jesus out for having a bunch of renegade disciples that weren't living according to the traditions of the elders. And that's why Jesus says Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. He goes back to Scripture. He goes back to Scripture to say, you guys are off. You're wrong. You're way off. Because even Scripture talks about this. God's not looking for us to subscribe to these sets of traditions and technical matters and so on that we just go about slavishly doing without thinking about it, without really even understanding what it is that God wants from us. Because the Pharisees, as Jesus is looking at here, were empty. They didn't have any substance to them. And they thought that they did. That's why they were running around as those who were policing the law. But Jesus says, you don't have the substance you think you do. You're empty. You're hypocrites. And in verse 8, perhaps the biggest accusation against them of all, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. What's he saying there? You guys put on the appearance, and this is why he calls them hypocrites. I think most of us know that the word hypocrite simply means to wear a mask. It was an acting term. And Jesus is saying, this is why you guys are a bunch of actors in this, because you appear to be interested in what God wants by enforcing your understanding of things on other people, God's law or so on, but you mask it as traditions. And you appear to be interested in God, but you're really not. You're interested in yourselves. You're interested in enforcing your own opinions on other people. You've let go of the commands of God in favor of human traditions. So he gives an example. In verses 9 through 13, he says, you know what Scripture says. See, Jesus, when he first combats the Pharisees, he goes back to Isaiah to show that what God has wanted are people who worship him from the heart. And that's why he calls them hypocrites, because they're not doing it. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. Why aren't you living according to the traditions of the elders? Everyone who desires to be godly is going to do those things. And Jesus says, you honor God with your lips, but your hearts are far from him. And his proof of that is you've let go of the commands of God. The commands of God you've let go of in favor of traditions, your own rules. So he goes back to the Bible. And he says, you all know what Scripture says. Honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father and mother must be put to death. So Scripture holds up very highly this idea of taking care of your parents. But Jesus says, but you've circumvented that. You've come up with a tradition. You've come up with a way to get around that. And you say that anybody who marks out their money as being devoted to God is now off the hook from taking care of your parents. And so he says in verse 13, thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition. So not only are they letting go of the commands, they've now nullified the word of God by their traditions. They've placed their own traditions that benefit themselves above the word of God itself. See, that's the problem with the Pharisees. They look to appear spiritual. They look to appear godly, but they actually avoid God's word. They find ways of getting around it. This is why Jesus condemns the Pharisees. This is why he calls them out. This is why he calls them hypocrites. He's got to get to the heart of the matter here quite literally, because otherwise there's going to be a lot of confusion about what it is that God really wants, which Jesus then goes on to spell out. True followers of God, Jesus says, have a pure heart. And they're focused on the heart. They're focused on loving God from the heart, internally first. That's his first point in quoting from Isaiah in verse 6. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What's that imply? God doesn't want that empty honoring. He doesn't want that show of obedience. He doesn't want us to speak about him if we're not really concerned to be doing it internally. He doesn't want that external show, that external lip service. That's not what he wants. If it doesn't originate internally, then God's just not interested in it. In verse 7, he says, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. What Isaiah is saying is, how can you worship God when you're more concerned about making sure everybody understands what you want? When you're more concerned about making sure that everybody lines up with your understanding of what God's word is. And Jesus says that true followers are focused on the true worship that comes from within, not the worship that is your own creation. That's what the Pharisees did. They created their own rules for coming to God. And Jesus says, your rules have gotten in the way of people coming to God, and you still won't let them go. That's the conflict he's having. And he says that true followers are focused on seeking God in purity. Jesus spends his whole time, especially down in verses 14 through 23, spelling out this idea that God wants first and foremost a pure and clean heart that's focused on your own growth before God, not on somebody else, and certainly not on judging other people. What Jesus is teaching here is that external things matter, but they have to be driven by what's happening internally, from the heart. That's the problem with the Pharisees. They were 100% externally driven. And they weren't even externally driven by the laws or commands of God, but by their own traditions. So they had two problems, two things working against them. A failure to understand what God really wanted, and a judgmental attitude towards enforcing others' behavior according to their own traditions. Jesus says it's got to start in the heart, and then it'll work its way out. And I've said this before a number of times. When we really understand the gospel internally, in our hearts, the behavior comes naturally. Because that's when we begin to be converted. That's when we begin to be transformed. When we really love God from the heart, the behavior comes naturally. The Pharisees would have rather enforced that behavior on other people. And so with the Pharisees, if we want to have external behavior without internal transformation, we're going to find ourselves being empty. There's not going to be any substance other than the show that we create or the rules that we try to enforce on other people. There's not going to be any compassion or love for others. The Pharisees only cared whether or not the disciples had lived up to the traditions that they expected to see. They didn't care about any of the circumstances that led to that. They didn't care about the quality of relationship that the disciples had with God. They didn't ask, are they maybe not keeping these traditions because they're struggling with the with their relationship with God? There was no investigation along those lines. It was simply empty. It was cold. There was no compassion. There was no love. And there was a tendency to control the expectation that others would keep their rules. Not the commands of God, but their rules. So Jesus spells out God's solution. Seek God in true worship and look to God's ways of defining purity. Not whether or not you can keep somebody else's rules, but whether you worship God from the heart and whether your heart is clean and pure. In verses 6 and 7, when Jesus cites from Isaiah, he says, this is what God wants. This is what God has always wanted. It's why Isaiah prophesied about it. Notice that Jesus, he didn't create this on the spot on his own. He went all the way back to Isaiah and he said, this is what God's always wanted. Isaiah didn't just teach this. Isaiah prophesied about this, he says. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's what God wants. Would God ever reject the honoring of himself from somebody's lips? Only if it didn't come from the heart. And that's what I mean. When it comes from the heart, then the external is always right. It's always right because it's always done out of somebody's love for God. But when that internal isn't there, then many times the external can create problems and get in the way because it becomes about living up to others' expectations or placing our expectations on somebody else. So Jesus says that inner purity gives the external things that we do their true meaning. How many times, and we talk about this all the time, even especially perhaps at the Lord's table, we talk about thinking through what it is that we're doing, really trying to understand what Jesus did for us as we're taking these emblems. We know not to take these things in vain, and Jesus is saying our whole life has to be like that. Our whole life has to be centered on seeking to have a pure heart before God. That's why Jesus talks about these things in 14 through 23. He says, look, it's not the external things that defile us. It's what's within us that comes out of our heart that either makes us pure and clean or that defiles us. So purity and defilement are internal things, Jesus says. We're not going to be defiled just because we did something externally that somebody else would classify as a defilement, but if within our own hearts we knew that that was a defiling action, that's when we're going to be defiled. And purity, likewise, is centered and found in the heart. Jesus says that God calls us to inner purity. I think the challenge for us is whether or not we'll place that call above everything else. Will we turn from our fear of other people and their judgment when we don't live up to what they're calling us to do? Will we turn away from trying to enforce our behavior on other people? Will we turn away from trying to line everything out? Can we find ways of focusing on God, on the inner purity that he wants us to have, on the love for him that he calls us to have? Can we let the rest of that go and focus strictly on that, realizing the truth of what Jesus says? Finding ways of maintaining a pure heart and keeping our heart close to God so that when we do honor him with our lips, it's from a clean and pure inner center from our hearts. Randall led a song for us already called Seek Ye First. Can we live by that song? That's what Jesus is calling us to do, to seek God first in everything that we do and to cast aside the things that get in the way of that. Can we live by that song? Can we let those things go? Can we seek God first? If you're here this morning and need to respond to the message in any way, perhaps it's to seek prayer, maybe it's to seek to be baptized into Jesus' name, to become a Christian and receive the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have a spiritual need this morning, we'd ask you to let us know what that is by coming forward as we stand and sing.